This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on a Monday, and we welcome in our audience on the DraftKings Network. Shout out to everybody over on Samsung TV Plus. If you want to get the viewing aspect of the Lombardi Line, you can check it out on Samsung TV Plus or on the DraftKings Network at dknetwork.com or draftkingsnetwork.com. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. And Michael, we've been talking a lot of reacting to the week in the NFL for week number two. But what was your biggest takeaway from what we saw yesterday?
I think home field advantage is way overrated. I mean, Detroit had a sellout crowd there. You know, as loud as you could make it. Didn't help at all. The Bengals coming off of a great year, welcoming Joe Burrow back, didn't really matter. I think to me, we make too much about travel, too much about playing home field, you know, all those things, because teams are so damn good at handling the snap count. They're so good at the silent count that I don't think it matters. I mean, it certainly didn't matter for the Giants in the second half. They scored 31 points and never really had a problem. How about Denver? Denver's lost two home games in a row. New England's lost two home games in a row. There's a lot of other things to talk about, but home field to me, as in the betting community, I think is a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah, teams have gotten so good with the travel stuff and like with where they stay, the routine, the sleep cycles and all that, like all the science that's been put into that to where, like you mentioned, home field advantage, because like the travel, I think, was bigger than the crowd noise. Teams have known how to deal with crowd noise for quite some time now, but like the travel schedules and all that, I think, has been the biggest issue. But everyone now has mastered it to where you can't be like the old school saying of, oh, 3 points for home field. Those days are long gone. It's like half a point or maybe a point at the most now when you look at
even
home field.
These stadiums that are supposed to be such an event. I mean, Sam Howell, rookie, goes back into goes into Denver, Mile High, puts 35 on him. Yeah, I think he threw like 7 incomplete passes. I mean, he was sensational. Got sacked 4 times, took a beating. Who cares? I mean, that's pretty impressive for a rookie to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Denver point is the one that you hit right on the nail there, because Denver, especially in September, that's usually the place where it's difficult to play. Your legs aren't quite under you because preseason, the guys don't play full quarters, and now you're at altitude. How do you deal with it? The Denver had been dominant in September, and now we've seen them lose 2 September home games at 0-2. Now they have to go down to South Beach, where I'm sure the humidity, the index is going to be 300%, and it's going to be absolutely out of control there from a weather standpoint, as it's always difficult in South Florida. That was your biggest takeaway. My biggest takeaway, Michael, from week number two, it's over in the NFC, and this is not to throw shade at the defending NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles, but I think we might be on a collision course between Dallas and San Francisco in the NFC. I think that was my biggest takeaway from week number two. Both those teams look really good. They look like they're humming along. San Francisco, tough game yesterday against the Rams, but it's always a tough game. Division games can be difficult there. But I think Dallas and San Francisco, and we're going to get that matchup in a few weeks here, Sunday Night Football. But I think that's going to be a hell of a game when we see it in Santa Clara in week number 5. But this seems like a collision course in the NFC.
Well, I mean, look, the Cowboys dominated the Frank Sinatra Open. You know, when you can beat New York about like back to back, I mean, that's pretty good. And they dominated this game, but they did it differently than you would have expected. Micah Parsons was sensational. There's no question. And Dwayne Brown had no chance to block him the entire day, nor did Lakeland Tomlinson or anybody on the team. But to me, I think the untold story, which will not get written, is Mike McCarthy and his play calling and his ability to kind of play from in front, handle the game, you know, have an answer for this Jet defense that, you know, this time last week, we were talking about them in the same light of the Ravens of 2000, of the Bears of 85, you know. And they put 30 on them, and they could have put more if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I think the one thing, you know, all the Zach Wilson conversation, 3 interceptions, what's not being talked about is how good the Cowboys' execution was running the football and throwing it, and Dak looked sensational, and CeeDee Lamb did as well, and they moved the ball on a very good Jet defense. I'm not trying to disparage the Jet defense, because I think the Jets' defense is really good, but the Cowboys – They took it to them.
You know, from a betting standpoint, the McCarthy Dak Cowboys, and everybody obviously has what they're going to say about them because they haven't had the success in January and they've been bounced out of the playoffs by the 49ers in back-to-back years. But from a betting standpoint, the McCarthy Dak Cowboys have been a money-making machine. I think like they're one of the best teams against the spread when Dak has been healthy and McCarthy has been there since he arrived in 2020. Like they cover quite a bit and they've covered like easily in the first two games of this season here. So like, I know everyone talks about the Cowboys are a public team, America's team and all that stuff. You want to fade the Cowboys. There's no value betting the Cowboys. It seems like there's no value betting against the Cowboys. Cause if you've been doing that since Dak and McCarthy have been together, you're probably down quite a bit of money. Just be careful with that one.
But I mean, look how good Dak played yesterday. Seven incomplete passes out of 38. You know, they ran the ball 44 times. Not a great average, 3 yards a carry. You're not going to run the ball effectively against them. But, you know, they were able to. Pollard only averaged 2.9 a carry, but they were great on third down. And they were able to, their execution was unbelievable. I mean, this team had 75 rushes and completions. 75 rushes and completions against the New York Jets defense. Now, you say, well, the Jets offense didn't do anything. True, they had 12 first downs in the game, and they only had the ball for 17 minutes. But the reason they only had the ball for 17 minutes is because the Cowboys were 9 of 18 on third down.
Mm-hmm. It was a complimentary football is what popped up in my head when I was watching the play. I was like, hey, like this is not going to be the sexiest box score in terms of yardage and all that stuff, but it's complimentary football doing what's required to actually win the game. And that's
which is what we talked about when McCarthy said, I want to call the plays.
Mm-hmm. And so far, we're off to a good start. Still early. Don't want to start counting chickens before they hatch. Still early. And they do got to get it done in January because that's how this team will be ultimately judged, especially from me as a fan. But we're liking what we're seeing so far in the early going. We will have Mike Pritchard joining us here in about 30 minutes. Our VSiN NFL analyst, a former first round pick, played nearly a decade in the NFL. He'll be joining us as we break down week number two slate. We'll get his thoughts as well on what's coming up later on tonight here. But Michael, let's talk about tonight's games. We have a kind of a quasi doubleheader here. It's a staggered affair later on this evening in the NFL, starting with the first game, the Panthers hosting the New Orleans Saints. And right now, looking at the market here, we're seeing New Orleans, a 3-point road favorite, total 39.5. How do you see this one kind of playing out later on this evening in Charlotte?
A lot of sharps like Carolina today, the home team getting the points. Don't think New Orleans wowed anybody with their inability to get the ball into the end zone last week against Tennessee, but look, I think New Orleans is good. We know Carolina's not going to have two of their starting offensive linemen, which will be a problem for them. I mean, let's be honest here. It's going to be against a good Saint front, and you're going to have to block them. And something that the Panthers haven't been able to do, they're going to start their fourth-round pick, Chandler Zavala, in there at right guard, and Code Mays, who they drafted in the sixth round last year. So they got two young guards inside there against a very good front. This game's going to have to come down to they've got to pressure Carr. They got to put a lot of pressure on Carr. I don't think DJ Chark's going to play. I don't know. I think that's a game time decision, but we have to see that. And they're going to have to put pressure on Carr, create short fields, because I do think Bryce Young, if he has a short field, they'll make enough plays to help them out. But they're going to have to, it's going to have to be a three-dimensional game, and they've got to play really good defensively. And they did. Last year, they played the Saints really well. They dominated the Saints in the game in Carolina last year. Mm-hmm. They dominated them. And then they went down there and played horribly, but still won 10-7. It was one of the ugliest games you're ever going to see in a year, but they were able to win it.
Yeah, I think that was the ugliest game, week 18. Go ahead and look that one up there. I don't think you're going to see that on any of the NFL classic reruns or anything like that. But I have a bet in this game. I bet Carolina. It was one of my contest plays. I took the +3 with Carolina, and I also bet it as well. And I have a little bit on the money line for the Panthers as well. And this one is strictly what my handicap was in week number one when I bet the Tennessee Titans. It is strictly a fade of Dennis Allen. Like you're going to have to prove it to me that Dennis Allen can be a 3-point road favorite against a competent team. Now, maybe Carolina is the worst team in the league. I think that's still way too early to tell on that regard. So I'm going to go ahead and go back to the well and fade Dennis Allen on the road as a 3-point favorite. I mean, this is a guy who has a win percentage of 28% in the NFL. Now he's a 3-point road favorite. I'll play against that. That's my bet in the game.
Well, it's funny you mentioned you played it in the contest. The circuit consensus, which was I think 2-3 last week. You know, the consensus of all the people that make the picks. This week they're 4-1. They took Tennessee, Atlanta, Kansas City, the Giants, and Miami. They only lose the Giants.
Yeah, the Miami one killed me because I was on New England. That was when I thought I was going to make up a lot of ground on the pack, and instead we lose ground on the pack in the contest. But that's how it goes sometimes. Still a lot of ball game left to be played. How about the game that is the headliner for tonight, though? Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Mm. This is the first time, Michael, and you'll remember this, the first time that Cleveland has been a favorite in Pittsburgh since 1989 when you were roaming the streets over there in Northeast Ohio. You remember that
one? You know
one?
Why we were the Week favorite? One? You know why? Yeah, that's exactly why we were the favorite. We were the favorite because in opening day, we beat them 51-0 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay? We beat them 51-0. And then they came back and beat us week 7 of the season. I think we were the favorite. We were the favorite being the home team, too. Mm-hmm. And they beat us. They came right into our stadium, 4 o'clock start, 4:05 start. Cleveland Stadium at, you know, right there, it's kind of late fall, early fall, you know, beautiful, picturesque, and they whooped our butts. And so, yeah, I remember it well. Yeah.
But week
this
one.
This will be hard for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. This will be hard for Cleveland.
Yeah, no, this is an interesting betting market because it touched 3, but the minute it got to 3, people came in and bet Pittsburgh. I don't have a bet on this game. I missed out on all the 3s there, but I respect the side they're looking at Pittsburgh as a home dog here. Total 38.5. You think that the Steelers get this thing done?
Well, I think the Steelers have to play better, and they have to, a little bit like I talked about with Mac Jones on our pod, about all these guys. Kenny Pickett's not built to throw it 40 times. That's just not who Kenny Pickett is. That's not what's going to help you win. It's the same thing with Dak Prescott. You could pay these guys all you want to pay them, but at the end of the day, you have to tailor an offense that fits them. They need to run the football effectively on Jim Schwartz's defense, and they're going to have to play better up front than they did against San Francisco. You know, they're going to have to be able to run the football, have balance, use their play action. Deontay Johnson isn't going to play in the game, so that gives them. So Pickens is going to get a lot of the attention from the Cleveland secondary. And Cleveland's got guys in the back end that can cover. Ward, Newsome, those guys are good. Emerson.
We'll give our final thoughts on this game to wrap up the show later on this hour. But coming up next, step into my office here on the Lombardi Line on DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Oh, it is that time of the week. Time to hear what you need to hear. And the first person going into the office is Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, Zach, I think one of the things you've done a great job with is getting your team to play its best football at the end of the season. But I think it's probably time we turn that needle a little bit because of the competition in the AFC, and losing 2 North games is setting us back. But more than just that, I think we got to rectify Burrow's calf, but we got to fix our offense. Like, our offense is broken right now. And I don't know if Jonah Williams is good enough to be the right tackle. I think that's going to be a problem for you moving forward because everybody's going to put their best rusher on him. Everybody has taken Chase out of the game. He averages 7 yards a catch in his 10 catches. So we're going to have to figure something out. Maybe we should change formations. Maybe we should substitute some personnel groups because it's easy to get comfortable in 11 personnel with Joe Burrow. But maybe we need to give him a helping hand, to give him some other way to where we could make some plays without having to constantly drop back in 11 personnel and try to throw the ball over the lot. Because it doesn't seem like we want to give Mixon the ball very much. So I think, to me, you got an extra day to prepare before you get ready for the Rams, and you know Raheem Morris and you work for Sean McVay. I think this is more about the Bengals than it is about the Rams. I think it's about who are we and what do we need to do. Teams have spent a lot of time studying you. And yes, you've started out 0-2 before and you've come back, but this is a hard, hard place now. I mean, there's teams that, you know, because you're going to lose the tiebreaker in a lot of these, and the schedule doesn't get any easier. So I would focus this week really on the on you and fixing your offensive problems, because we're going to have to move Chase around. We're going to have to do different things, because if we if they take him out of the game, we have no explosiveness. We just don't. If they take Higgins away, take the deep ball out of Cincinnati, dare them to run the ball, how are we scoring points? I think you got to answer that.
It's time to self-scout over there in Cincinnati. This next person heading into the office, this is one that is near and dear to my heart. Justin Fields, my man. It's time to step into Michael Lombardi's office.
Well, you know, Justin, I think you can't like blame the offensive coordinator for the play call on the interception when, in fact, you the ball left your hands. And he's only calling interceptions. He's only calling screens. I think he leads the league in screen calls because he's trying to give you completed passes that will gain yards and help you out. But when you have an opportunity to throw the ball in in-cuts and you have an opportunity to lead the offense, you got to take advantage of it. And what you have to do and stop listening to all this nonsense MVP talk is find a way to protect the football. You had two more fumbles yesterday. You know, you're not able to pull the pin on things when they're wide open. And you just have to find a way to get some kind of rhythm. And maybe it isn't that it's the bad call. Maybe it's not the bad offense. Maybe it's just you have to work harder at your craft and you've got to recognize things quicker and move off and find that secondary receiver and then put an accurate throw on him. Because right now your accuracy is not good enough. It's below 60%. And you have probably eaten the most easiest throws of anybody in the National Football League. You throw more screens, you throw more flats, you throw more flares because they're trying to give you completions and yet we're under 60%. So this is really, after 29 games and 26 starts, people have an idea who you are. Now it's on you. Either you make the changes necessary in your game or this time next year, you won't be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
That's the harsh words that need to be said there. The next person also needs to hear some harsh words, and this is Brandon Staley, head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, I think the first conversation we have to have, Brandon, is I know I've been wrong before, but I think a lot of this would help you if you've been wrong, if you admit you're wrong. Because going back to the Denver game when you left Mike Williams on the field, you didn't think that was a problem. You don't think your team's having any problems winning close games. And yet, if you would examine your two-minute drill, which to me was it's quietly no one talks about, if you would examine what you did in that two-minute drill, you never really gave your team a chance to win. Your usage of timeouts. Now, I know you take great pride in having the most comprehensive analytical department in the history of football. You have guys up in the press box telling you when to call timeout, when to not. Maybe you ought to evaluate the evaluator. Because where I was sitting on an airplane, I was calling timeout for you and you weren't listening. Now, I know I'm not in the league and you are. But I was calling timeout, and I promise you, had I been your analytical advisor, we would have had more than three plays after 51 seconds. I promise you that. And you know what we would also had? We probably wouldn't have had any timeouts left when we kicked the extra field goal for the tie. But we would at least have chances in the end zone to win the goddamn game. You didn't even give us a chance to win the game. They didn't even give you a chance to win the game. So maybe you ought to think about who you're listening to. Maybe you ought to stop and think about they're wrong. And you should watch more NFL games and understand what you're doing. Because just because you say, I listen to the analytical people, doesn't absolve you from criticism. It doesn't absolve you at all. You know, Pro Football Focus will like you because they think you're the best coach in the league. But other than that, no one else will. So at some point, you're going to have to come to the realization that you can possibly make mistakes. We all have made them. But you yet to learn from them. And you keep hiding behind the analytical card. I got nothing against analytics. I got a lot against losing games, and that's what you've been doing.
First step to fixing a problem is admitting that a problem exists. Staley has still yet to do that in terms of Chargers closing out.
I don't think he'll call me back, Femi.
Well, you gave him some advice. Hopefully he'll take it to heart. Let's continue.
You don't want to hear advice. He's a genius with an eraser. Like I, you know, Art Modell used to say to me all the time, hey, kid, I'm not second guessing. I'm first guessing. You know, I mean, like I was sitting there. I was watching this unfold. Before my very eyes, I couldn't believe it. And I know from, I listened to his interview when he had Peter King in there and he had the joystick in there with him when they were breaking down film together. It was a revolutionary. I mean, it was like, I thought Sid Gilman and Paul Brown were in the room. You know, it was like, oh my God. You know, it's like, okay, like, I know he talked about, well, we have an analytical community up in the press box that tells me, like, if that's what they're telling you what to do, and you walked off that field with one extra timeout and really didn't give yourself a chance to throw the ball in the end zone to win the game. To win the game. I promise you this. If you would have been on Tennessee's side with the three, and they would have scored that touchdown, would have gone up by four. You, everybody who had Tennessee thought they were losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody did. You got a quarterback you just paid over $50 million to. You got two all-pro receivers. You know?
Well, what else do you need? Well, you need a guy that knows what he's doing at the head coach spot. Let's continue with the coaching theme here. Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos. His first year in Denver has gotten off to a rocky start. What does he need to hear?
Well, I think one of the things I think all of every coach in the league, and you know this better than I do, Sean, is after 2 weeks, you kind of know who you're, what your strengths and weaknesses of your team are. And it looks to me like whatever that whole rhetoric about how good the Denver Broncos are on defense, that the offense, that they were just a quarterback away from being a great team, that's a lie. That's a lie. Because your defense isn't very good. When you play two home games, you didn't get the ball back with 5 minutes to go in the game against the Raiders, and you really couldn't stop the Commanders. They scored 21 points in the second half against you and took control of the game. I mean, the score is misleading. It's, you know, the Hail Mary pass makes it look like it was closer. It really wasn't. They had control of the game, and you couldn't stop them. So I think you're going to have to find a way to do it. But your bigger issue is you got a big issue in the quarterback, because everybody's going to say he had great numbers, but there's three or four plays he didn't make for you that if you're paying a guy $50 million a year, he's got to make it. If Joshua Dobbs doesn't make those plays, you're not mad. You're not mad, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Wilson makes them, you're angry, because you're paying them $50 million to win the game.
Yeah.
You're paying them that. You know, if Justin Fields doesn't make it, you're saying, okay, we gave a guy a chance, we're moving on. If Mac Jones doesn't make him, and both those guys don't make him either, I'm just saying, we move on. There's not an investment. But you got an investment in this guy. It's hard for you to say to move on, but at the end of the day, he's not helping you win. He's helping you accumulate stats, but you're not winning games. Now, your defense takes responsibility, but he throws a completed pass to Judy. That game changes. You're probably going to go in at halftime 28-11, 28-14.
Final
Instead,
person.
You go into halftime 21-14.
Final coach who needs to hear something is Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Last one?
Yeah.
Look, Kevin, I think, you know, the one thing you got to figure out is how to run the ball. Madison's got to play better for you. And you're going to have to keep your defense off the field, and you are going to have to find a way to balance the game out a little bit, because with Cook, you had an easy out. He could run screens. He could do a lot of things. Madison isn't as good as Cook, and that's pretty clear. You're going to have to figure out how to get somebody involved in that passing game from the backfield.
And maybe find that horseshoe that he had running around with him all of last season. And those
Derek Stevens won't even let him in that building. Even if he wanted to go to Saginaw and buy a pastrami sandwich, he wouldn't be allowed in.
11-0 in one score games. Now they're 0-2 in one score games. You're still not getting in, Kevin. We still need to see you regress a little bit more. That is Step Into My Office here on the Lombardi Line. Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, joins us next here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN shows are clashing. That's right, it's game on. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. At stake is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and a juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% off with promo code Lombardi. Don't you forget it. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Come on, we can beat all the other shows. Let's do it. Let's do it. Once again, promo code Lombardi when you sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Joining us now, you can see him here on the Lombardi Line every single Friday with myself and Mike Palm. It's the one and only Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Pritch, we got to start with a quarterback that I like, but has played horrendously. That is my man, Justin Fields. What have you seen from Justin Fields through 2 weeks here of the regular season?
Oh, Femi, Michael, great to be with you. I mean, he better get better quick, fast, and in a hurry. because what I'm seeing from him right now, you can't compete with that, let alone win with it. So I think he's on a clock in terms of evaluation, in terms of, okay, what do we need to do moving forward at that particular position? Can we upgrade it? And certainly as a player, you do not want executives or upstairs looking for other players to replace you. I mean, that's going to happen anyway, but you don't want to make it easy for them. And I mean, the last four minutes of the game, the turnovers were incredible. I mean, I didn't like the play call, to be honest with you, the screens and all that down there, but that's also indicative of a coaching staff that feels like he can't do a lot, especially when the game's on the line, right? When the game's on the line, your quarterback's supposed to be able to bail you out.
Yeah, no. That's how I felt. I mean, everybody wants to get Luke Getsy probably. The reason he's calling so many screens, they're going to lead the league in screens, is because that's a pass he thinks he can complete. That's something on his play sheet that says, okay, I can get a completion here. Whereas if he calls something else, he's not sure what he's going to get or what throw Justin's going to make, and it's a problem. And now that, you know, the running back, Herbert, I thought he was really good. I know they were missing both the Jenkins one guard. They had to move Whitehair back into center or out to guard, and they put Lucas Patrick in at center. But still, you got to make better throws. You got to make better decisions. I think it's a problem. He's got, you know, Mike, this guy hasn't started. He started 26 games. This isn't like a new game. Like, this is his third season. It's either now or never.
Right, Michael. And I've been told by, you know, a lot of people in terms of what's the range of starts for a quarterback where you really feel like, okay, is this guy a starter in the league, or is this guy capable of being a franchise quarterback? And it's right around, 20 to 24 starts,
yeah.
When that kind of range. And it's like you kind of know when a player can play, let alone become a franchise quarterback. And the jury's out on Fields. I like his talent in terms of his ability, but in terms of being a complete quarterback, I mean, he's got a long way to go. And to me, that's troubling for him being a starter in Chicago.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it's even possible, to be honest, because we're, like you said, the clock is starting to tick there. And as somebody who's been a Fields believer, I'm starting to lose faith. How could you not after you've seen the last couple of games that we've seen here in 2023? We're speaking with Mike Pritchard here, VSiN NFL analyst, also former NFL wide receiver, former first-round pick, Colorado Buffalo national champion in the early 90s. Well, Pritchard, I know your other point, because you're a receiver, you like to catch passes, mm-hmm. but you also played running back in high school. You played a little bit of running back in Colorado as well. Why do you think the run game is so important here early on in the season?
Well, I still have the record at the University of Colorado. I averaged about 26 yards per reception. It's because we had Eric Bieniemy, who was a Heisman Trophy candidate running back, and we had Darian Hagan, who was a Heisman Trophy finalist and candidate at Heisman Trophy in terms of a quarterback. And both of those guys were prolific running the football. And we had an offensive line that would maul you. So I, as a receiver, I always loved having a sound running game, because now we have an edge on the defense. And so as a better, I'm looking for these offenses that are going to run the football, know that they can run the football, have a certain attitude about running the football, and can do it at will and can do it when they want to. You know, right now in the National Football League, the ratio, the balance ratio is about 60% pass, 40% run. But the teams that have skewed it a little bit more to 50% or even close to 50% or even over 50%, those are the teams that are executing perfectly on offense. You know, sometimes that, I wouldn't say perfectly, that's probably too strong, but certainly successful enough to get the wins and get out the gate certainly the way that they want to. I mean, I'm talking about you know, Dallas, right? They're over about Atlanta, they're above 50%. Cleveland is above 50%. Baltimore, you know, San Francisco, Green Bay, even, I know they lost against Atlanta, but they're above 50%. Tampa Bay, all these teams. And then when you look at the teams that are struggling, you know, they have skewed it to the pass and to the drop back pass that they are struggling. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, believe it or not. It's only one game, one sample size. Minnesota, New England. I can't believe New England is about 35% run pass ratio, 35-65% run pass ratio. And you got to get better in that area, to me, because that tells me what your identity is or what you want it to be. And if you're not able to execute that, then all of a sudden you're going to be scrambling with your adjustments. And that's what we're seeing played out so far through 2 weeks.
Let me ask you this. I think I agree completely with what you're saying. I think New England's been behind, which eliminates the run game, but I get your point. They have to run it. I think a lot of this is related to shotgun. I think when you mention Dallas or you mention San Francisco or you mention Atlanta, they're not as much shotgun. So you have a better chance at having a run game. You know, you have a better chance at being able to get more, you know, run action, and it gives you a play. I mean, New England's biggest play yesterday was 14 yards. 14 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, and people say, well, they had nobody receivers. Well, sometimes guys get open because the biggest play that the Jets had with Garrett Wilson is a great player was off of play action. They faked the handoff inside. They stood the linebacker and they got it behind him. I think a lot of this is related to teams. I think Cincinnati, the perfect example, unwillingness to be more multiple in formations and getting somebody under center. Lamar was under center more yesterday.
Right, right. No, you have to. The defense, and let's face it, if you watch, and everybody's watching the game now, I mean, so many offenses look the same and they're doing the same things, the kind of same concepts. I mean, half the league, if not over half the league, they're trying to run the ball like San Francisco. And so we're seeing similar blocking schemes all over the place in terms of the running game. But your point is perfect, Michael. When you're in shotgun, most of the play action stuff that we see is the zone read kind concept, right? Whether it's inside zone or wide zone. And that's it. But when you're under center, you got counter, you got gap, you got power, you got all these different schemes that you can play action off of, even out of the I formation, ISO. So therefore, that gives the defense so many different looks and so many different things to think about just because your quarterback's under center. But these teams that just want to operate primarily out of the shotgun, if they're not clicking on all cylinders with the passing game, the drop back passing game, they're in a world of hurt. And I think that's going to continue.
Mm. Well, what do you expect to see later on tonight to get your thoughts on tonight's games? Once again, we have like a little quasi doubleheader: Saints at the Panthers, Browns at the Steelers, two division games, two division home underdogs, two low totals. What do you expect to see later on this evening?
Well, for instance, the Panthers, I mean, you would love to see their quarterback operate under center if they can, right? But I don't know if that's going to be the case. I don't know how much. I'm really curious about Carolina and Bryce Young and how they're going to execute. I think the Saints defense is a playoff caliber. I know the Panthers overachieved last year. But if Derek Carr, again, if he can kind of be better in the red zone in terms of being a playmaker, then I think the Saints could win this game easily, to be honest with you. And then on the other side, with the Steelers, I want to know what their identity is. Like I said, they right now, because of how the game played out in week one against San Francisco, they're not even close to what we're accustomed to seeing from Pittsburgh. So I think they're going to return back to their mold and what they're comfortable doing and their blueprint. And that's running the football, playing physical, and getting back to some play action. That's going to be a tight game. That typically is a one possession game. And I want to see if Pittsburgh can bounce back with that young team. It's hard to lay it with Cleveland just because of the matchup, the historic nature of this matchup. So I like the points with Pittsburgh in this matchup.
All right. Once again, Mike Tomlin, 5-1 against the spread against Kevin Stefanski. We'll see if that comes to fruition later on tonight. Here, Prince, before we let you go, though, how about your Buffs 3-0 heading to Autzen Stadium this Saturday? You excited for this one?
Oh, man, I am very excited. I mean, we go way back with Oregon. Phil Knight and Bill McCartney were really, really good friends. And we had this unbelievable Nike contract when I was there, Femi. I still got some Nike gear from those days in my closet somewhere. But I think we have better athletes. And I think the wild card when everybody's starting to find out is CU has a quarterback. Shedeur Sanders and his poise and his ability to make plays and not get knocked. He gets knocked around, but able to still bounce back. I think that can keep us in the game longer than people expect.
All right. Well, the points bet right now is 20.5 with a lot of time from now until Saturday. We'll see how it unfolds. That is Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the NFL, national champion with the Colorado Buffs. Pritchard, we appreciate the time, man. Be well.
You too. Thank you.
All right. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? The DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment here of the Lombardi Line, brought to you guys on the DraftKings Network. Thank you to Mike Pritchard, who joined us in the last segment, VSiN NFL analyst. Also, thank you to our buddy Thomas Gable, who joined us in hour number one, the race sportsbook director over at the Borgata. Before we continue forward, though, let's hand out our pro tip for the evening. And this is one that we talked about with Pritch in the last segment, that where you don't want to overlook some of these matchups, especially in division with a lot of history, there could be some trends that we should be keeping in mind.
You know, I spend so much time talking about the coordinator battles, and people tend to not want to discuss trends because trends are, well, that's then, this is now. But there is some history here, you know, and Tomlin's teams are different than Cleveland. And I'm sure in the Cleveland building in Berea, Ohio, they're talking about, hey, this is our chance to show that we have the toughness that Pittsburgh does. Because there's a reason why Pittsburgh has been able to dominate them over the last 20 games. There's a reason for that. Last year, there should have been no reason that the Steelers beat the Browns. But because they're so tough and because they forced the Browns to play outside their comfort zone, they did. So it'll be interesting to see. This game, to me, really is going to come down to, you know, Pritch hit the nail on the head. Sometimes when you look at rush and passes percentages, they can be a little bit misleading, because if you get behind in a game like Pittsburgh did in game one, you have to throw it to catch up. It's hard to run it. Look at the Giants in the second half. I mean, they mixed in a few runs, but, man, they needed to throw it. The time wasn't on their side. They were like Sheriff Buford T. Justice in Smokey and the Bandit. They were in a hurry. They had to get somewhere, right? And so, you know, they had no time for a Diablo sandwich. They had to get going. And same thing would happen with Pittsburgh last week, right? They had to get going. And so they're 83% pass to 16% run. Well, that's not going to be the way they play tonight. There's no chance. Whereas Cleveland, I know it was raining, was 55%, 44%. That's what Cleveland wants. Cleveland wants to be balanced. We'll probably see that 51-49. But that's going to be the key tonight. Can Pittsburgh effectively run the ball against this team? Can Schwartz's run defense hold up? And then can Pittsburgh play from in front? You know, I said yesterday on the air about Buffalo, the Raiders, that I thought the Raiders could stay attached to the game if they could keep running the ball in the fourth quarter. Well, once they went on that hour sabbatical, when they lost the middle eight, they couldn't run the ball anymore. And that game was over.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Who do you like in this game, Cleveland and Pittsburgh? You going with the home dog?
Yeah, I would take the home dog. I mean, look, I like Cleveland's team. I think I've had picked Cleveland in the guide to win the North. So I'm a Cleveland guy. I hope they don't wear the ugly brown pants. You know, I mean, it's hard to root for them when they're in those ugly brown pants.
They're wearing the icy whites. So they're actually going to unveil the white helmet instead of the actual traditional orange helmet. As well. So they'll be white on white on white.
Yeah, see, people misconstrue. They think brown's the color of the team. Brown was the nickname. It wasn't a color.
Yeah.
St. Louis Brown. You know, it's so, to me, the colors are orange, white, with just a trace of brown. That's the history of the team, but somehow we get caught. I probably like these better than I do. The brown pants, to me, just reminds me that, it's like, you know, it's like something happened. We have an accident in aisle five over here, you know?
We got to clean them. We're hoping that we don't get brown pants later tonight sweating out these games.
I
mean,
when I see those brown pants, I think, clean up in aisle five. Let's go. Was Sienna around here? Did somebody's diaper go, leak or what?
Yeah, what's that smell?
My.
I don't work for Nike. They're the ones that are in charge of making all these uniforms here.
Those brown pants, you can't blame them on Nike. They've been around. Sam Ratigliano brought them back. It was disgusting.
Oh, okay. All right.
Of course he got them in the right uniforms. He went back to the uniform that Jim Brown wore, the white uniform with a nice brown stripe down the side with the orange.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Well, it'll be all white tonight there for the Cleveland Browns. Steelers, I think, will be in their black and gold. From the injury report standpoint here, obviously Deontay Johnson is out dealing with a hamstring. Cam Hayward's on IR for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so they won't have him. Larry Ogunjobi didn't practice on Friday. That was concerning. Full on Saturday, so they're already down Hayward. Ogunjobi has no game status, so he'll play there for the Pittsburgh Steelers front, which they will need him against Nick Chubb and that Cleveland Browns running a game there. And for Cleveland, injury-wise, nobody as of no, sorry, Amari Cooper is the one that is questionable.
That's going to be the one you got to pay attention to. Yeah. To me, the Amari Cooper one is important. You know, I think, and this line has moved. You know, Pittsburgh opened up as the favorite here. Remember this? I mean, it moved to Cleveland, and the betting to me has been split. I mean, both, it's right down the middle. I don't think there's anything. Now I think Cleveland's, what, a two-point favorite? Would we have them at 2 point? Yeah,
Cleveland's two. But at Circa here, where I'm sitting, Cleveland's one. So they've gone down to a one-point favorite here at Circa. So that just goes to show you which direction the market is headed towards. We might, who knows, maybe we close a pick'em with this game. But I think a lot of folks think Pittsburgh bounces back at home. Mike Tomlin, once again, 5-1 against the spread against Kevin Stefanski. And, oh, by the way, Tomlin, 7-2-2 as a home underdog over the last five seasons. So Pittsburgh tends to rise to the occasion in these spots. How about final thoughts on Saints-Panthers? Right now I'm seeing three across the board. Carolina, the favorite, total 39.5.
Yeah, to me, this is going to be about the offensive line of the Panthers. They got to play well tonight, you know. And last week, they averaged 3.9 a play, and the Saints averaged 5.5. And the Saints were really good. They averaged 0.25 points per play. So they were really good, you know, and they almost had 70% completion. They were outstanding against Tennessee on third down. They didn't put the ball in the end zone. They were 25% in the red zone, but they were very effective. And Carolina has to play. And again, Carolina has to keep the ball away, play balance with them, and they have to put pressure on Carr. One of the things about Derek Carr that you have to do is you have to get him off the spot. Mm. You have to create a second play, right? You got to get him to move, and then, okay, you make a play on the move. And sometimes he's able to do that, but for the most time, you know, that's when the play, he doesn't make a great play on the move. He makes a great play when he's in the pocket and he's got a chance to throw it. So I think that's really important. I think you need to do that. And it's going to be a Carolina game. Now, a lot of people on Carolina. I like their defense. You know, I mean, their defense last week, they gave up 4.6 per play. And now we saw what Green Bay did to them. So, you know, you got to kind of, you know, look, Green Bay moved the ball. Atlanta moved the ball on Green Bay effectively. But they didn't move the ball effectively on Carolina as well. The problem was Carolina couldn't defend the pass. Carolina allowed Atlanta to have an 83% completion percentage, 15 for 18, remember, that Ridder was last week, but they didn't allow any yards. Again, percentage of completion isn't important.
Yeah, well, we're seeing the Saints as the three-point favorite. The injury to keep in mind here for this game is DJ Chark, the Panthers wide receiver, didn't play in week one. He is questionable. Practice in full on Saturday, but he is questionable for the game status. We'll see
if DJ practiced Chark full on Saturday. You know, and Saturday's the Friday practice for the teams that play Monday night. So that's big. I mean, that's huge for them. They need him. They need somebody to separate it. But I'll tell you, the guy they need to really play well is they need Chenault, who I think, LaVisca Chenault, I think he's really a good player. I harp on him quite a bit because he can make yards after the catch. They need that. You know, Thielen's not a great runner with the football after the catch.
No, he is not, especially at this stage of his career right now. He's kind of on the back nine there. Or maybe he's approaching the 18th grain. Who knows for Adam Thielen. We got a couple minutes left, though. Quick thoughts on week number three. We obviously broke down Bengals and the Rams. That those look ahead. The line movement that's been all throughout the day has been massive in that game. Any other games that kind of jump out to you? I know we were talking about Buffalo and Washington during one of the breaks there. Now looking at 6.5 Bills road favorites in Landover.
Yeah, I mean, look, Washington's, did I think they could go into Denver and win that game? Absolutely not. I thought Buffalo was impressive because Buffalo, they did something that they typically hadn't been doing. They corralled Josh Allen in, and he threw very well. He threw a lot of short passes. He ran the offense, and the offense was good enough, and they ran the football. You say, well, the Raiders aren't good on defense. That's true. The Raiders are not an elite defense, but you know, they executed perfectly. They punted on the first drive of the game, and then the only time they were stopped was on a goal line play, or else that score would have been a little bit more misleading. So I thought Buffalo, that'll be a good game for Buffalo, because this front now for Washington will give Buffalo trouble. The Buffalo's not going to be able to block this front as easily as they block the Raiders front, particularly inside. I think we saw that with Denver. Denver was blocking them a little bit, but then once it started going, All of a sudden, Young started coming off the edge. Allen, Payne, Sweat, those guys played well. They're a good front. I mean, look, you know me, Femi. I'm not a big Rivera fan, but I have liked Washington over 6.5 all year, and they got 2 wins in September.
Yeah, I mean, we've been the official VEASAN show of the Washington Commanders all offseason, talking about how this team
over
is much better.
Over 6.5 for the win total, you know?
Yeah, maybe a sprinkle to make the playoffs, perhaps. 2-0.
I'm not doing that. But, you know, but one thing we know about Riverboat Ron, once he has a good year once every 4 years or something.
Coach of the year,
you know,
maybe.
You see the Loch Ness Monster every once in a while.
Maybe he could become a 3-time coach of the year. Imagine that. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Michael, I will talk to you on Thursday on the GM Shuffle. Thank you to our producer, Elliot, the entire crew behind the glass. We will see you guys later. Good luck with all the bets tonight.